Ken Miller, Trent Condon. Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO. And now on 106.3 FM.
All right, good morning, everybody, and welcome in. It's Miller and Condon here on a Wednesday, Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO. Trent Condon and Ken Miller with you for the next couple of hours talking sports with you. Appreciate you being here with us. BMW of Des Moines guest list. Only one guest in the first hour of the program. At the bottom of the hour or thereabouts for the first time since last January, February, we'll get our bracketologist back in here. Shelby Mast, you can read or you sometimes read his bracket at all of the Gannett papers. He is the bracketologist for Gannett. He'll join us each and every week going forward. A real good resource in Shelby Mast. Glad to have him. Glad he's on the mend. Looking forward to speaking with him. He suffered a last year, and this is public, so I'm not letting this out of the bag. He had a severe stroke. And for a while there, it was kind of self-conscious. Remember that?
I do, absolutely.
Yeah. How did I sound? I don't want to, and I get it. I totally understand, but he was good. And he's back and look forward to picking his brain on the brackets again this year. And he updates them every day. This is the beauty of it. Last night, it was updated just before 11 o'clock our time. Iowa State is a 4 in Shelby's bracket as of today. Iowa, an 8. They're in the East. Iowa State, he has them. Where does he have them? Out West, at least to be, that'll change, obviously. But that's the seed range that they're in as we begin another day of basketball.
If you would have told me back in October that both the big schools were going to have a great shot of being NCAA tournament teams and Drake and you and I would be at the top of the MVC, mm-hmm. I couldn't have signed up faster for that.
I'm with you, right?
And here we are.
Yeah, and he's got Loyola as the lone representative of the Valley in. Although the Panthers seem to be playing their best basketball.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
As of late, so we'll see.
Speaking of that, did you see my tweet Saturday night? I was, wasn't watching the game at the time.
What time was it?
Was it
after 8:30?
It was about 9 o'clock.
Well, then maybe.
It was right as the UNI game was finishing up. So they pull away, 4-point lead. And SIU hits a three-quarter court shot.
Oh, my God. Did it affect the number?
Closing line, 1.5.
Oh, my gosh. You've got to be kidding me.
Panthers win it by 1.
Yeah.
It's just, those are the things. Last night.
Caleb Grill, you put it on Twitter.
Yes.
So help me out with this one. What closed at what?
128.
128 was where it ended.
I put it at 129, Jesus. And then they had another bucket on top of
it. Saw that. Wait, yeah.
Yeah, it's just...
What 2 seconds left? They didn't.
How tight those lines are, those totals, and in a game that is over means absolutely nothing, and yet there's people on their edge of their seat. I'm gonna guess there was a sports book somewhere.
Oh, for sure.
Where the place exploded,
absolutely,
in a 20-point blow up because of one shot.
Yep.
With less than 20 seconds
that
to
exploded,
go.
Exploded in pure joy, or papers were thrown on the floor, or tickets into the air. Oh, those are some of my favorite nights spending in the book, especially when you know that something's going to come down, and either way, it's going to be a decision that's going to move the needle. And I like it when I don't have any skin in the game, just watching everybody else react. That got me through a lot of nights by myself in Las Vegas. I wouldn't change it for anything. All right, so we got the Shelby Mast at 10:30. 11:05, David Kaplan is here. Centurion Stone of Iowa sponsors our Cappy conversation. A lot of Bears talk, obviously, with Cappy. We will get into that. Another sports talk legend in Chicago passed away over the weekend. Help me out.
Les Grobstein, who I listened to overnights a whole lot.
So that's all he did, was night.
That's how I remember
him.
He might have done other things, but yeah, I remember him as the late night overnight guy. Maybe came in 11 o'clock, something like that, back when I was umpiring softball and baseball. Mm-hmm. Driving from all across the Cedar Valley and to some other areas around there and hop in the car. Well, not any sports talk radio on the sports station I worked at because they had the goofy overnight show with the guy that talks about aliens and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, I remember. The jock had that when I was driving to work in the mornings back in the late 90s. What was that cat's name?
Oh, man.
Oh, it's on the tip of my tongue. I know exactly what you mean.
But I mean, and that was riveting in itself, but if I wanted to hear sports, the only one that I could get was 670 The Score out of Chicago.
Oh, so it wasn't WGN. He was on The Score.
On The Score.
Oh, I thought he was on GN. Okay.
Yep. So I would listen to him quite often. Didn't think he had a whole lot of depth to him.
Right.
But
he filled a void.
He absolutely did. Not the easiest shift in the world. And
yeah.
There's a guy that does, I think, for WFAN out in New York.
I think there's only two left, two cities
that have
overnight live sports talk, not syndicated,
right?
Not national.
Jimmy Traina, who does sports media for Sports Illustrated, yeah. He does a podcast, a weekly podcast, and the guy that does overnights kind of co-hosts with him at the end of the show, and he does 5 hours with the producer, but
jeez,
just him,
just for
overnight.
Five hours.
That'd
be tough. Well, you and I almost did it because when we were, well, no, you weren't groveling. I was groveling to get back over. I said, look, we'll do nights.
Yeah.
And at the end of our shift, we'll run the vacuum around if you need us to. We just got to get back over here. Luckily, we didn't have to work in the middle of the night. We got the 10 to noon shift, which is ideal. Anyways. So this guy, say his name for me again.
Les Grobstein.
He was the one that captured the Lee Elia audio that would have never seen the light of day or had the shelf life that it does had he not been in the coach or the manager's office after the game and got that audio, which to this day is you just plug it in and listen to it. It just blows your mind.
Monday night, I played that for my wife. She'd never heard it before.
Right.
And she was rolling with
it. So what made you play? Oh, because of his passing?
Because of his passing. Yeah, yeah, I was on Twitter. I'm like, oh, yeah. you have to hear this. 85% of the world is working and the other 15% is blanking here. And these people need blanking jobs. It just, if you haven't heard
it's an all-time wrench.
Just do a Google search. It is incredible. If you're at work, maybe put on some headphones.
For sure.
You don't want the wrong people hearing what he had to say. But one of the most epic rants. People talk about Jim Moore in playoffs. And
yeah, pretty good.
You got Mike Gundy and mm-hmm. I'm a man, I'm 40. Mm-hmm. This one, because of the profanity.
Dennis Green.
Right,
Dennis. That's another
Green.
One.
Let him off the hook.
Yeah.
A lot of good ones.
I thought we are. They are. Let him off the hook. This is another level.
Different.
Yeah.
Yes. If you haven't heard it, it is worth the click for 2 minutes. Yeah. And I think you'll be laughing at it.
Well, look at Trent. I heard from two different people out in the eastern part of the state that text me periodically, and they mentioned his passing as well. And so this, I mean, 69 years old, far, far, far too young. All right. So Cappy will join us at 11:05. And then the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Holthus, is here at 11:30. And man, oh man, I'm not wishing the first three games away by any means. They are all in their own right. Got a chance to be special. But Bills Chiefs to bring the curtain down on Sunday night? My gosh.
George Norrie is who we were looking for with that overnight show.
Is that who it is?
Yeah, George Norrie.
George Norrie. Now that doesn't
There was two guys that did it. George Norrie might have been the more recent of the two, but that
was. So this was in the 90s, and this was spaceships and
aliens. So what do you call
it? That's not the name that I think.
All right, we got to find this now. Now it's bothering me. American Radio.
George Norrie.
Coast to Coast AM.
Yep, help me out. Art Bell.
Ray
sent it to me. Thank you,
yes.
Ray.
Yes.
Art Bell, that's who it is.
Art Bell and George Norrie took over for him.
Is that what happened?
Yeah.
So Bell was on when I was doing mornings on the Jock, obviously.
Yep.
And George Norrie took over. Yeah, Art Bell was the cat that I remember.
Art Bell. Those nights driving with nothing else going on.
Yeah.
And there it is, and just the melodious tones and the way that he would frame the stories and then the guests that he would have on, nuts. I mean, just people have tinfoil hats. We joke about that often. Yeah, these are the people that were wearing those tinfoil hats and just on and on and on the stories and people calling in. And then you start looking up in the sky. What is that up there?
Really?
This guy's made
a living doing this. And he's got a lot of money. I mean, yes. Ross Peterson, thank you. He just pulled over and texted me.
Yeah.
Because Ross wouldn't text and drive.
No.
I don't think anybody should. So anyways, good stuff. Mitch Holthus will be here at 11:30. So that is the BMW of Des Moines guest list here today. Trent, we got to get into Iowa State from last night, the Texas Tech game. Look, for 23 minutes, it was a pretty good basketball game, right? And then Texas Tech defensively, who is gifted defensively.
Yeah.
Iowa State was settling for jumpers. I get it that there were the free throw disparity was it jumps off the box score, but you got to look a little bit deeper because when you're settling for jump shots, You're not getting too many calls, and that's exactly what happened last night. Defensively was not, it kind of in some ways reminded me of the Oklahoma, I guess we could call it a collapse, right? Because it was such a good game, and then they quit playing, Iowa State quit playing their game. But look, it's the Big 12. It's the road. You got to split with what on the surface looks to be a pretty damn good basketball team in Texas Tech, especially when they are at full strength. So, the league overall. Look, I watched Baylor in West Virginia. And oh, by the way, what a great time to tip at that one, right?
I knew you'd love that 4 o'clock.
Jay Billis did the game. How about that? Jay Billis.
A 4 o'clock game.
A 4 o'clock tip.
For Billis.
Rich something was the play-by-play guy, but I don't remember him. I don't recall, you know, too much about him, but Billis on. Look, West Virginia and Baylor were going toe-to-toe.
Yep.
Oklahoma and Kansas. Oklahoma went on a 20-2 run trend. I know you had a high school game, so mm-hmm. you might have missed that part. 20-2 run, and Kansas overcame it.
Was it 12-6? They outscored them down the stretch. Kansas did.
They did, yes.
To get the win by three.
Right.
This conference, and you can say top to bottom, look what Oklahoma State
did. Look at TCU, what they're doing.
Kansas State.
Uh-huh. K-State had another win last night.
They go on the road.
Didn't they? Yeah, they did.
Yeah, and beat Texas on the road last night. Just on and on and on. The depth of this conference is incredible, and it's concerning, I think, a little bit for Iowa State. They're still fine to be a tournament team, but to even be in the, say, top half of the bracket, be a sixth seed or better, mm-hmm. at minimum, you got to be 10-8.
You're going to have to win a couple on the road, Trent. And hold serve at home.
And going to Kansas State and TCU and Oklahoma State, those are the most winnable of the three. You want to play any of those three right now?
No, you don't. Here's the thing. Go back to the, and Chris Beard brought it up, the coaches poll or the media poll, whatever one he was referring to after Texas got beat on Saturday by Iowa State. And I guess Iowa State was picked 10th in the conference. Well, if that's the case, TCU had to be 9th, K-State had to be 8th,
mm-hmm.
and probably Oklahoma State 7.
Right.
And look what these four schools are doing. So, yes, top to bottom. This conference. Shelby, who we're going to talk to at the bottom of the hour here, Shelby Mast, our bracketologist, he's got 8 of the 10. He might need to, you know, expand on that a little bit.
Last night, only one player was over an average mark offensively.
And for Iowa State?
For Iowa State. Mm-hmm. And that was Caleb Grill, who had 4 3-pointers in the game. Mm-hmm. Everybody else, including all 5 starters, were under what is considered an average offensive score. 62 offensive rating for Kalscher, 70 for Enaruna, Brockington 88, 57 for Hunter, 67 for Condon. We know this team has struggles offensively.
Yeah.
They're going to be there defensively. It's going to mm-hmm. give them a chance. But when it goes awry and you have those stretches like they did from, like you said, about the 17-minute mark of the second half. And
it was over
away,
at that point, yeah.
And they're...
Now, they closed the gap a little bit because it was 20-22 at one point. 22, either 20 or 22-point deficit, and the game ended up 12. But they couldn't shoot a lick from three. Kalscher looked like bad Kalscher, like sophomore junior Kalscher, mm-hmm. As opposed to the last couple of games. He struggled to make his shot.
Jazz couldn't get into the flow at all.
Trent, he fouled out in 8 minutes.
Right? Is that 8 minutes?
8 minutes. That's all he played.
It felt like less than that.
Condit had 3 fouls early in the basketball game. Robert Jones, who again, Robert Jones, his minutes are going to keep going up.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still got another year. And I thought he was kind of a miss at the beginning as far as, look, you can't kill what TJ did. But I thought this might be the weakest link. He's by far anything but that. But he struggled. I mean, he missed mm-hmm. a couple of shots underneath. Now, one shot. I mean, there were 2 Red Raiders that crashed into him right under the basket while he was in the air. No call. I get that one, Cyclone fans. You can put that one in the, they missed that one category, and that one's absolutely justified. And Aruna tried to get going a little bit. He struggled. Hunter struggled. It was just one of those nights where they couldn't make a shot, and you got to give Texas Tech credit because they play defensively, just like Iowa State does. That's their calling card.
We talked about this 6-game stretch to open up conference play and the importance of, at minimum, getting to 2-4.
Mm-hmm.
They did that.
That's what they did.
They got to 2-4.
Yep.
Now the schedule eases up, but it doesn't ease up as we're talking about in the way that maybe you were anticipating just
TCU Saturday, right?
Yeah, that one's at home. Feel good about that. Obviously,
what time is it? Is it in the middle of the football?
Ooh.
Is it 3 or 1? Please be 1.
It is.
Please be noon.
3 o'clock.
Oh, gosh.
3 o'clock, right, as things are getting started with Cincinnati.
Well, the Bengals will be so far in front of the Titans at that point.
Look at you. Look at you. So TCU, on the road for Oklahoma State next Wednesday, home for Missouri. And that Missouri team.
The one last night anyways.
Oh, my God. They got beat just a week, less than a week ago, by Arkansas, 87-43. They turn it around, go on the road, and beat a decent Ole Miss team by 25.
Trent, I watched the end of it, and the only reason I did, because Iowa State, Texas Tech was on ESPNU, and that was the game that preceded it. And I knew you were on Ole Miss, and every time that I was kind of cringing for you.
Oh, man.
And hoped you didn't take the elastic band off the bankroll.
Nope, same bet.
Same bet. I figured same as bet. Much, and I was glad to hear that. But yes, so I'd forgot about the SEC Big 12 Challenge is coming. I still don't like it.
No.
In the middle of the year, in the middle of conference play. But look, it's different, I guess, if nothing else. And where is that game? Is that in Hilton? Is that in Ames?
That Columbia. One is, yes, at Hilton.
Okay.
So you'll get that one on the 29th. They got a start time for that. 1 o'clock on that Saturday, the 29th for Mizzou. Will they bring back the telephone trophy? I know it's a football trophy, but...
I wish they bring back the football game.
Yeah. Bring back a replica. Maybe do something like that with basketball. And then it's Kansas after that. But these next three games, you feel like you can get 3-0. You do.
Well, you certainly did after we saw the 12-0. Was it 12-0 the start? Yes, you felt like this was, you'd put these three in the win column. But you can't say that now, the way that the bottom of the conference is playing.
Ken Pom has them projected to win by 7 against TCU, lose by a point at Oklahoma State, and then beat Missouri by 14. Even a 2-1, you're feeling good.
Gallagher Garib has not been kind to the Clones over the years. But I mean, they've had some good wins there.
These stretches. Currently projected 9-9 in conference play, 21-10 overall.
So you were not asking a lot then. Just to you know, get one game north of that at 10-8, and that will keep your seed. Look, again, I think a 4-5-6 is absolutely ideal. I love that six spots. Don't want to slip any further than that, but just the fact that there's going to be March big tournament basketball for Iowa State, barring an absolute unforeseen collapse of epic proportions. I can't see it happening.
I'm right there with you. I think they're going to be fine. They're going to get in. And even at 8-10 in the conference, they still have built up enough. They got the quad one victories that they're going to be okay for an at large, even if it would go that far south. And I just don't see that happening. So we go to tonight. We got all three other teams from the Big Four remaining to play. You and I goes on the road for Valpo, playing well, as you mentioned earlier. Drake, they're home for Bradley. Two winnable games for both of them to stay at the top of the conference standings with Loyola. And Iowa goes on the road for Rutgers. The old rack, now the
Jersey Mike's.
Jersey Mike Center.
And they're throwing wearing throwback uniforms tonight. Halas tweeted them out yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, from the 70s. Not a bad look.
Yeah.
Not a bad look.
Geo Baker?
Yeah, Trent, he's a different cat. Look, this team beat Purdue at home.
Yes. Took they're a need to do it.
Right, but they're a different basketball team at home. Ron Harper gets bigger every time I turn the TV on. I swear to
thick.
God. He's
thick,
a thick, yes,
man.
Thick. And he's a player, don't get me wrong. He's a good player. But Geo Baker is a terrific player. This is going to be a tough spot for Iowa tonight. What's the number?
3.5. Hawks favored by 3.5.
Well,
I'd be grabbing the points.
I think I would be too.
Played a great game last year out there. Iowa got the victory late against the Rutgers team that was an NCAA tournament team. Not going to be easy, but boy, you get this one. Back-to-back road wins, and you're feeling good with Penn State coming in then over the weekend. You did that. You're 5-3 in conference play, and suddenly, not lock, but feeling really good about them being a tournament team.
Yeah, I'm with you. This is a good one. Get this one tonight. Penn State comes on the weekend, and that, too, is 3 o'clock. Is it not, or 3:30?
3:30.
So they're both playing at the same time.
Basically, yeah. And we also have Drake at UNI at 5 o'clock. Right.
Okay.
Well,
Two TV setup. You'll be all set. So I want to take a minute here. Remember Ron Franklin, right? He passed away yesterday. He was really the first, and I don't want to call him a casualty because he brought it on himself, the first sport or broadcaster or personality. I know he wasn't the first overall, but he lost his job for, what did they call it? Was it harassment? He lost his gig. Remember Janine Edwards?
Yep.
The ESPN reporter who married the defensive coordinator at Oklahoma State, who's now got moved on. But regardless of that, He lost his gig at ESPN because of crossing the line with Janine Edwards. And this is going back 10 years ago.
Called her sweet baby.
That's what he called her?
Yep. In a condescending tone.
Right. And I don't think that was the one and only instance of that.
Yes.
He called a hell of a game. He called a hell of a game. Mm-hmm. He was one of the, you know, for the, I don't know, a significant period of time. He was in a big game. Yeah. If you heard his voice.
In a big 12 game usually.
Yep.
And going back to Big 8 days.
True. And college football as well. And they'd move him around. Mike Gottfried, remember him?
Yeah.
Ron Franklin and Mike Gottfried called a lot of games together. But Ron Franklin, there was a big, this was a big deal back in 2000 and, is it 10 or 11? I think it was 11, that he lost his job after Janine Edwards took him to, I guess, human resources. And the investigation took place and he lost his gig and had nobody to blame for him but himself.
5 years previous, he also, to Holly Rowe, said, talking about a game, Holly, it's not giving up. It's 49-21, sweetheart.
Yeah.
Yeah. So two incidents that we heard about in 5 years. That's what's going to happen. But you're right. That was kind of the forefront of...
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah. Those kind of things happening. The people call it cancel culture. It's
no,
not what
it's
it
not.
Is.
He brought it on himself.
Yeah, it's being an a-hole.
Right.
And he got caught. And he got fired because
And those
of it.
Are the two instances with it, that we know of. I don't know if there's any more or not. I remember him at Big 12 Media Days. Peralta and I would do our show down there. We'd have him on. We had a senator on. Well, he's a senator now.
Tuberville?
Tuberville. And actually, it was a really good piece.
Was it?
He was terrific. Bob Stoops sat with Peralta and I and did, I don't know, 10 or 12 minutes with him. And Ron Franklin, you know who else would walk through? I remember this because it was like you could just the air of confidence that this woman exuded when she would walk through Media Day. And this was before anybody knew she was.
Erin Andrews?
Close. Closer than you think.
Erin Andrews. Female reporter.
Uh-huh. Now host.
Now host. Oh, Ponder. Samantha Ponder.
Sam Ponder.
Yeah.
Her, frankly, that was in Dallas. That was a pretty good era of Big 12 Media Day.
What's her husband up to these days? Does he do anything?
I think looking after the kids.
All right.
You know, absolutely.
Put a lot in the bank?
He did.
First round pick.
Was 15th overall, 13th
something like
overall,
that. Yeah.
Something? I mean, it was a reach.
There was
a run on quarterbacks, you remember?
I was watching that draft with my wife and my brother, my stepbrother, who's also a Vikings fan.
Yeah.
And I was joking with him before, they're going to take Christian Ponder. No, they're not. There's no way. Yeah. And it happens. And I just started rolling, laughing. They both look at each other like, oh, God. Yeah. Why is Trent laughing this hard at this pick? Got that one right.
Yeah, you certainly did. Boy, that was not the most distinguished quarterback career.
No.
This Vikings team is one to watch. We'll have to get somebody from the Vikings. There's a lot of Kirk Cousins buzz that he's...
That they're going to cut him?
They're going
to try to trade him?
Try to trade him. And you know who primary target number one apparently is?
Your Denver Broncos.
Yes.
Yes. Well, how would you feel about that? You've watched a lot of Cousins now.
Yes.
Because it's the same thing. I remember when we had this conversation, and I think we were up the dial, and I was at the forefront. The Vikings need to go get Kirk Cousins. Because I've seen Kirk Cousins, I see the numbers. That's the guy that's going to elevate them. But then you watch him, like I did, pretty much week in and week out. And there's just something about him that the stats don't marry with the football player he is consistently week in, week out.
He doesn't handle pressure well, I don't think.
Yeah, I think that's a good
way. When the play breaks down, look, he's still, I think he's a good quarterback.
He's a good quarterback,
yeah,
yes.
I don't know if this is a guy that you hitch your wagon to, this guy's going to lead us to the Super Bowl. Now, it wouldn't shock me.
But he could get Denver to the playoffs.
Absolutely could. I think this is a pretty talented roster. But Kirk Cousins... I don't think they're going to cut Drew Lock. I think he's got his rookie contract still for another year, I think, because he's a 4-year guy, because he was a second round pick. It can't be Teddy Bridgewater, but if it was Kirk Cousins, I don't think the reason the Vikings are out of the playoffs is Kirk Cousins.
Right.
Right? He's adequate.
He's good point, yeah.
Middle of the pack, low teens, mid teens.
Yep.
Starting quarterback in the NFL.
He win games. He's got a couple talented receivers. He puts up numbers because of that. And he'd have talented guys at Denver if he'd go there also. And the playoff drought for Denver, I tagged you on that post, I think, last week.
Yeah.
The second longest drought in the
NFL.
It's
remarkable, Trent.
That's unthinkable for that organization.
It's the Jets and then the Broncos.
You could have given me a half dozen guesses. I would not have come up with the Broncos after the Jets, which would have been an easy one.
Well, I knew they hadn't been in the playoffs. Their last playoff game, they left with the trophy, right? When they beat the Panthers in Super Bowl 50. But I would have thought there were teams that had a longer drought than that.
Yeah.
And there's only one, and it's the Jets. But yeah, it's been, again, no one's going to care, right? They've won three Super Bowls.
Yep, I'm not going to cry for you.
No, absolutely not. Vikings fans, you can care less, right?
Right.
Bears fans, been a long time for you. All right, Shelby Mast is coming up. We're going to get into the brackets with Shelby Mast. Look forward to catching up with him for the first of what will be weekly appearances as we inch our way, and we hope we're inching our way because this is fun to March and the unveiling of the bracket. What, how many weeks? Any idea? Would it be 6 weeks away? No, it's more than that. Probably 8 weeks away?
Yeah, I think that's where, because it's more towards the middle of the month. Yeah, this year. So it's pushed back, I think, a week from where it sometimes is on the calendar. And I took a peek. Milwaukee and Indianapolis, the two Midwest first and second round. If we see Iowa State get there, also a Sweet 16 this year in Chicago.
Nice, at the United Center.
Uh-huh. Just in case, had to take a peek at that yesterday.
Stay at the Drake Hotel. You ever stayed there?
No.
It's so nice. It's old, right? Mm-hmm. It's really, there's a bar in the basement. I would just love to be, you know, if the walls could talk.
Yeah.
You know, going back into the early 1900s, and I got to think Capone had a couple of drinks there.
Sure.
Just amazing, amazing property. Anyways, we will get our timeout. Come back with Shelby Mast on the brackets. But right now, it's time for another $1,000 slam dunk. Go to KXNO.com. Once you get there, enter the keyword work at KXNO.com. Work right now, KXNO.com. That's your chance to win $1,000. Miller and Condon, underway on a Wednesday, Des Moines Sports Station 106.3.
Now back to Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM. Here's Ken and Trent.
Good stuff, Trent. It brings a smile to my face, that intro. Man. That's really good.
That's good theme music.
Indeed
there.
Indeed it is. And we're going to hear not our fill of it, but plenty of it here starting in the middle of March. You're going to hear weekly from our next guest. We're grateful that Shelby Mast is back with us for another year of brackets. Bracketwag.com is Shelby's site. He's the Gannett bracketologist. He's Miller and Condon's bracketologist, and he's back with us. Shelby, Trent, and Ken, as always, Shelby, we're grateful that you do this for you. How you been?
I've been good. How about you guys?
Doing well. A wonderful time of year as we look. We've got two teams, and I know you're updating your bracket daily. Last night it was posted just before 11 o'clock last night. And if you would have told us that Iowa State and I were going to be a part of your bracket here when the calendar reaches the middle of January, I said, Shelby, you're nuts. There's no way. These are two. Well, certainly Iowa State's a bad basketball team, and Iowa's not got much of a chance after all Luka's gone. But there they are, Shelby. You've got Iowa State a 4 and Iowa an 8. Let's start right there with those two schools. Iowa State got pounded last night by Texas Tech. But just the fact that they're on your bracket certainly seems like a shock to a lot of us.
Yeah, they really weren't sniffing it at all in the preseason. They were predicted last in the Big 12, which in this conference, that's not horrible. But, you know, last place, you're not going to pay attention to them. Now, all of a sudden, you kind of start paying attention. Then they're beating some good teams. Now they're undefeated 12 or 13 games in. You got to start watching them now. And they've maintained that start. They haven't won them all, but they're in the Big 12. They can't. Nobody
right.
can.
Right.
And it's very impressive what TJ has done. I'm impressed with them. Let's just hope they can hold it up.
Going to be tough in that Big 12, no doubt. So a little bit deeper look at their resume. The biggest thing that jumps off the page certainly is the 5 wins that they have in Quad 1. That is second in the country in terms of victories in Quad 1. As we've evolved from the RPI now to the net rankings from the NCAA, What's the most important metric to look at when you're looking at resume building, seed lines, those kind of things? Is it going right to those quad one victories and your record against quad one? Is that a good starting point?
Yeah, I think so. Quad one and quad two, you don't want to have any red marks or losses in quad three or quad four, and they don't. All their losses are quad one or what is super quad one or whatever they call the top half of that. So they've got good losses, every one of them, and they've done enough right now. I would almost put them as a lock, but their preseason pick to be last makes me wonder, and so I'm not ready to start locking teams yet, especially them, but a few more big wins will do it, I think.
How about Iowa, Shelby? You have them on the 8 line here today. They are 13-4. They got a tough spot tonight. Rutgers, as you know, is a different basketball team inside the Jersey Mike Center, as it's named now. This will be a tough spot, but the Hawks hanging in there right now is an 8.
Yeah, they're hanging in there. They don't have any quad one wins, but that's where all their losses are. So there's no bad losses. That's good, and they're confident. Will give them lots of opportunities to get those quad one wins. I figure if they kind of stay the course doing what they're doing and get a few quad one wins, they'll be okay. If they end up 0 for quad one, that's going to be tough.
Staying here in the state before we start to take a national look, looking at the Missouri Valley, Northern Iowa Drake didn't do enough in the non-conference to put themselves in position to get in at large, but Loyola has. So, more than likely what would happen, Loyola has to continue really good through conference play, maybe take just one or two blemishes during that, and then get beat probably in the championship. So that's the most realistic path, right, for the MVC to get to somebody upset Loyola in the championship game, and the Ramblers keep doing what they do throughout the course of the regular season. Is that right?
Yeah, they could probably lose in the semis if they keep this, what they're doing. They've worried me the past couple of weeks. They've had a couple games where they've been down big early to much lesser teams. They fought back and won, but the fact that they're getting down to them makes me wonder. I've seen them play. They're good. You know, new coach, so can he sustain?
Shelby, what has happened to the ACC? Didn't this used to be the dominant conference in basketball, seemingly, Tobacco Road, dot, dot, dot. You have four teams from the ACC in your bracket as of today. What has happened in that conference?
Aren't they still the best? No, they are. Everything is cyclical. It goes in cycles, up and down. You know, a couple years ago, the SEC was horrible, and now they're really good. And so I think the ACC is going through that now. They've got Duke as a top seed, not a one, but up there. And all the rest of the teams that I've got in there are from the 8-9 game on down lower. And so it's a long shot, but the ACC could end up with one team.
How about that?
That's the way it's looking right now. I don't think that'll happen. A lot would have to happen. But a three-bit conference is more realistic. But it's just weird to think about the ACC. The West Coast Conference is probably going to get more teams in.
The WCC going to get more than the ACC. What a world we're living in right now. Shelby, with that, your favorite team, speaking of the ACC, is Duke. They lose a tight one last night against Florida State.
Overtime.
You know Leonard Hamilton's going to have his team playing good by the end of the season. He's got, feels like, a half dozen 6'8 guys every single year that can get to the rim. But late in that game last night, you know, you look at the squad, you know certainly the talent at the top with Banchero, just how good he is, but didn't get a touch late in that basketball game. Your thoughts overall, this Duke team, they're a national brand. And in K's last year, is this national championship good team?
I think it is this year because there's not a clear-cut dominant team. Mm-hmm. Auburn and Gonzaga are trying to separate themselves, but there's a lot of really good teams. And with the right draw, the right luck, they could. And I think it'd be kind of fitting Coach K's last year, but I don't know if I'd put money on it. I don't know if I'd put money on any team right now because there's so many good teams that can have stinker nights. We saw that with LSU. We've seen that with Purdue. Baylor before yesterday lost two in a row at home. So anybody can beat anybody, and no undefeated is left. I think that says a lot.
Yeah, and Baylor was in a real fight for the first 35 minutes yesterday against the Mountaineers before pulling away late. Shelby, I'll tell you a team that I missed. I thought Texas was going to be better. Now, we saw them. They got beat on Saturday. They got beat last night, Trent, too, as well, right? K-State got them last night. Precisely. So, Chris Beard's got a lot of talent on that roster. We wake up this morning, you have them on the 8 line. What does Texas need to do? Is it just a product of, you know, making all of these parts fit? There's so many transfers on this team. Can Texas turn it around?
I think they can. Chris Beard is probably the right guy to do it, but we don't know yet. They haven't played a complete game as a team together. They've played in bits and pieces, and they've done enough to have a good record, but I'm just not sold on it. They're not meshing well for whatever reason, and they better figure it out quick.
To the Big Ten, Illinois-Purdue played one of the best games of the college season on Monday, 11 a.m. start for us Central Time, and a great start to the college basketball week. Illini are getting healthy. Carbello's back for them now. He's such a difference maker. Wisconsin, I thought that was a really good win for them last night as they go on the road and get Northwestern. You know, Sparty's going to be there ultimately. Ohio State-Purdue. The top seems good in the Big Ten. How about the middle, though? What do you think of the middle after you get through, say, those top five teams? Your thoughts on this conference and the middle part of it?
Yeah, there's some teams that probably need to get hot and to establish themselves. Teams like Minnesota, Maryland, who was supposed to be top five, I think, in the beginning of the year, they've really fallen off. They need to string together some wins, because I think the middle of the pack in the Big Ten is mediocre, maybe a little bit better than mediocre, but this year they're going to have to be better than mediocre and prove it. Or they're going to be sitting home in March.
The Big 12, Shelby, you've got 8 teams currently from the Big 12. You've got them in the big dance. Look, K-State's had a couple. They're playing better as of late. TCU is, I don't know how they're doing it, but lo and behold, there they sit at 12-2. K-State, I think, would need a miracle. To find their way into a bracket. Is there a chance, though, 9 teams from the Big 12 go, or is that a long shot in your mind?
I think it's a long shot. Oklahoma State's the wild card. They're probably good enough to be in, but they're banned this year.
That's right. That's a good point. Yeah, good point.
So, yeah. If they lay down for everybody, right, then there's a chance, but they're not going to, and they
forgot
proved
about that.
Baylor. So they're going to be trouble for some teams. Kansas State, if they play like they did last night and get a win like that, get a few more, they're going to be right there in the discussion. But, I mean, they're going to cannibalize each other, but at some point somebody's going to fall off, whether it's TCU or K-State, I'm not sure yet.
One team that I don't have a great read on, I've only seen them play once, and that's Arizona, who continues to pile up the victories. Of course, new staff there, brought in a lot of transfers themselves. With what Tommy Lloyd's done here early in his career at Arizona, give us more on this team. And speaking of national championship contenders, are they at that level, or is this maybe more playing in the Pac-12?
I think they're at that level. Them and UCLA and USC are the 3 teams from the Pac-12 that have kind of established themselves. But Arizona, I don't know if it's all smoke and mirrors or not. I've seen them play. They're good. But can they be good for an extended period of time? When they play those LA teams, that's going to be a true test. They've been fantastic so far, but yeah, I'm not sold yet, but they're on my one line just because of lack of options.
Shelby, you're updating this bracket each and every day still?
Yes, I am. I'll stay up late doing it.
It's good stuff. Shelby, we appreciate it. It's a great resource for us. Gannett uses you. We're grateful that you find time for Trent and I here in Des Moines. I know it's a really popular segment, and we have 2 teams in our state, potentially 3, that fancy themselves going dancing. We certainly hope that's the case. Shelby Mass, we will speak with you next week. Thanks for doing this, Shelby. BracketWag.com. Take care, Shelby.
Thank you, you too.
Good to talk to you. Shelby Mass
is we go inside the bracket with Shelby. I'm with you. I've not seen Arizona play, period.
Saw their game against Illinois. That was it, and they played well in that one, but that was not a full-strength Illinois. That's when Kennedy Lai and I were struggling, too, at that part of the season. You know, and when they hired Tommy Lloyd, too. And Arizona is a new blue blood.
Yeah.
But in the upper reaches of college basketball, mm-hmm. one of the 15 best jobs.
It's a basketball school.
And Tommy Lloyd, a career assistant at Gonzaga, been there 20 years, didn't know much about him. I mean, what kind of recruiting ties? It's going to be different.
Yeah.
You know, trying to get those L.A. kids when you're down at Arizona as opposed to what you're recruiting when you're at Gonzaga. And he's hit the ground running. And the way he rebuilt that roster and brought in a really, really nice mix here, going to be interesting to watch. You know, Arizona's kind of, you know, we talk about our guilty pleasure teams in football.
Yeah.
I always got a rooting interest just because of the Luke connection with Arizona. Mm-hmm. So keep a close eye on him, but just haven't seen him a lot this year. Well, of course, the Pac-12 Network throws a wrench into that from time to time,
big
too.
Big time. Although I heard again that Dish Network and DirecTV are talking merger.
Oh, really?
And if that's the case, what does that do?
Huh.
Does that mean that we'll get some of the programming on Dish? I mean, and I guess the only one I care about is the Pac-12 Network.
Yeah, is there anything else that there even would be? Probably not.
But they don't have that. They have that. DirecTV doesn't. Yeah, I don't know the answer. Anyways, we'll watch that. We'll come back, finish out the hour. Miller and Condon. We'll be joined by David Kaplan coming up at 11:05. Mitch Holtis, the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, you think about this AFC and I mean, we're going to see Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes this week. And maybe this year we'll see Joe Burrow v. Allen or v. Mahomes and throw Herbert into the mix because the Chargers one of these years are going to figure it out. The young gun quarterbacks in the AFC. And if you don't have one and you root for a team in the AFC with those four heavy heads, young ones, because none of them are going anywhere. And
it's
none
a steep
of them.
Hill.
Oh, boy. No, the B word, as in bust, will not ever be thrown around with any of those four cats. They are legit. Miller and Condon back to wrap up the hour. It's Des Moines Sports Station 106.3.
Located in Iowa. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Good final couple of minutes here, the first hour of the program. David Kaplan from Chicago joins us to kick off hour number two. Centurion Stone of Iowa sponsors Cappy. Papa John's does likewise with Mitch Holtis. He'll be with us at about 11:30 to help us out with the Bills and the Chiefs. You know, heard something last night watching Texas Tech and Iowa State. You know, we talk about how unlikely it would have been. You know, we'd be talking about postseason March Madness with Iowa State back, you know, leading up any time, September, October, whatever. Just as unlikely, we would hear the chants from the opposing fan base of overrated when Iowa State had fallen behind. I mean, think about that, right? Iowa State overrated. Yeah, I'm not sure that that's a badge of honor.
It is, absolutely, right? Yeah. Late in the game, and I heard that chant, too.
Right.
Not a fan of the overrated chant, though.
Yeah, nor am I. Nor am I, but students having fun.
Yeah, exactly.
I let them have their fun. It wasn't fun for Iowa State in the final 15 minutes of the basketball game last night. But that's life in the Big 12. You know, when I asked Shelby about the likelihood that, you know, we get north of the eight that he's got it, I forgot all about Oklahoma State.
Well, and also remember, finishing, of course, in the top six of the Big 12 was so important. So you didn't have to play on the opening night.
Mm-hmm,
yeah. Now there's just going to be one of those opening night games. It'll be the 8-9 game.
Because they can't even go to KC.
Right. So they won't be there. So the only opening round game will be the 8-9 game. Oklahoma State is out. So even as a 7 seed, you don't have to play on that first game and wouldn't have to go 4 games in 4 days to win it all.
Trent, it's unfair to the kids that are there now.
It is.
I don't know how else you can, you know, you can dish out punishment for breaking the rules like that, but these kids weren't there. That coaching staff wasn't there.
And that's the other part that's just infuriating about it is they've done everything it seems like right.
And they answered the questions. Mm-hmm. They should have lied.
Yeah, been like North Carolina.
Right, or just not done anything. I mean, just ignored it.
North Carolina had an academic scandal. Isn't that what, I mean, the crux of all of this is about academics?
Look, kids have been getting paid forever.
Right.
Right, forever. Now that it's legal. But yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. It is unfair to the Cowboys. I would have thought, no, I shouldn't have said it, but I'm about to say, I would have thought that the NCAA, that they would have done the right thing. What am I thinking?
You drunk?
Not yet. 8:30. Well, probably. I don't get drunk. I just have a couple.
Have a couple.
Cappy kicks off the second hour of the program. Mitch Holthus at 11:30. We have another keyword coming up. Your chance to win $1,000. Miller and Condon are on Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO.
Yeah.